and I'm going to turn this on to make it work. Hearing. Hearing from God. If you're visiting, truly believe that if God is a living God, he speaks. So if he speaks, therefore, we can hear. So, bingo. Let's go back one. Hearing and discerning. There it is. It was probably there all along. Hearing and discerning. So, if we hear from God, or we think we hear from God, we're left with saying, actually, I think I've heard from God. I think it's an important stance to take. Because if we just declare, I've heard from God, and God's told me that you're to move to Botswana. Congratulations, get your bag off, you go. You get, not that hand, this hand, yeah, there we go. How do we know that's true? I've heard from God. How do we know that's true? I think it's really important that we hear from God, but having heard from God in our mind and in our heart, that we do so humbly. And that is where I believe discerning comes in. How do we know we've heard from God? What are the things that we can turn to clarify or to affirm what we think God has spoken? So for the last, believe it or not, 4 months, we have been looking at hearing. For the next month, perhaps even less because we're just running out of time, discern. How do we discern? So there's a couple of things that I want to say this morning, and effectively I'm kind of throwing away most of my message because I want to go to something else that I sense God has placed on my heart. I think key to discerning is to keep listening. Keep listening. God doesn't speak and then stop speaking. In fact, that's not my experience. As I've walked with God and journeyed with him, as the verse that Dawn brought this morning from Scripture, which she brought into a prophetic word, a word of encouragement, is that his sheep know his voice. He keeps speaking. He hasn't stopped. He's not a God just from the past. And he's not a God just of today. He'll be your God tomorrow as well. And so I want to encourage you, in discerning, keep listening. Now, what I want to do is show you these four words: Scripture, tradition, experience, and reason. Does anybody know what this is? The Wesleyan quadrilateral. That's the one. So we call it the Wesleyan quadrilateral. It's a device, it's a way, a lens of looking and evaluating things. There's not a biblical verse that I can point to and say, this is what it says. Do it this way. This is a way that that people have looked at John Wesley and said, how is it that he worked out things? And they pulled out these four words and recognized that these are the four things that he used to discern what God was saying and how we can know God. And so Scripture, obviously, last week we had Ben speak to us from Scripture. God speaks from Scripture. And if God is speaking, it lines up with Scripture. Tradition. We can learn from those that have gone before us. The classic example is the word Trinity. We've got this concept of Trinity. Now, nowhere in Scripture is the word Trinity to be found. But through church tradition, we have been given this understanding that lines up with Scripture. So it's helpful. Experience. What do you know of God? How have you experienced God? This can be a way that we can discern. Is this consistent with how I've known God before? And then reason. Does it make sense? Can I think about this? Faith seeking understanding. So here's four perspectives. Now, depending on what church tradition you come from, you will grade those in different ways. And so what I want you to do is I want you to turn to the person beside you and tell them what you think is the most important, what's the least, and kind of what sits in between. So take a few minutes, turn to the person beside you, and wrestle with those four words. What's your top one? What's your bottom?
Just it's an hour only, just try and not turn too much. Just getting feedback on it.
Okay. Who wants to reveal that they're an absolute heretic? What have we got? What do you think? Anybody?
Scripture first.
Any other alternatives? There is one church tradition that places Scripture second. Anybody guess what it is? Roman Catholic Church. They have this great value on... I want a turn, but I can look down here. They have great value and put huge emphasis on tradition. They say, you know what? We have this line from they believe from Saint Paul, Peter, that he is the foundation upon which the church is built. And Scripture, there's been that we value Scripture to the point that they place it number two. But we believe that this man of God who's been called to lead the church. He has greater authority. And so that's where they value it. Experience is important. What church movement do you think places that at the very, very top? Yes. Okay, the answer is the charismatic movement. It's like, you know what? I've experienced God like this. I know it to be true. And so it will move above Scripture. So that's an extreme position. Now, again, you're going to find, when saying these words, let's not take ourselves as, oh, we've got it sorted. That we the Baptists, we've got it right. Good job. No. We're just looking at these and seeking to understand what it is that we can learn from each other's journey. And so for them, they want to affirm to a point of, you know what? I don't care what Scripture says. I know this to be true because this is how I've experienced God. There's a danger there. But I can appreciate the value that they put on it. Reason. What would be a community of believers that would place reason at the very, very top?
Jesuits.
So that rational thinking. But that's ahead of... Interesting, I didn't know this one. It's good. The way that we would describe a group of people today, and again, I want to be careful using labels because it's not fair, but a liberal understanding of faith. So an example of this here, going to drop a bomb, homosexuality. So we know that there is, at the higher level of the debate in this community, in the Christian community, there is no debate. Scripture is very, very clear. There is no debate around that about what Scripture says about homosexuality. However, there is a Christian community there that says, you know what, we know Scripture says that, but reason shows that we believe it no longer applies. That's the position that they've taken. For us, well, of course, we've got it right. Everybody else is wrong. Again, let's hold this humbly, okay? Please work for me. Here's where we seek to place it. Now, you can swap these up and down other ways. For me personally, I would probably put experience ahead of reason. But there are lots of people that would rather flip it the other way and say, yes, you know what? Your experience, that's dangerous. For me, I find reason dangerous. That's just a personal bias, okay? So with scripture at the top, tradition we truly value. An example that we saw today around dedication. What are the rich meanings that find within that? There's Trinity. If we didn't hold on to what the church tradition has given us, then we would lose some of these things. So that is this is Baptist theology. Okay, you can have it juggled in another way. That's fine too. There's the door. Absolutely not. So there's a framework that can help you evaluate when it comes to seeking to discern. I think I've heard God, I've experienced, or I've read the word, this is what it thinks, this is what I think. What are the other things that can come in to that conversation to seek to affirm or critique what it is that you've heard from God? So next week we have Frank speaking, and he's speaking about wise counsel. Now I suspect, where is Frank? Right there. I suspect that in some way, I'm just going to give you a framework for your message. Here you go, Frank. That in some way, all of these will be reflected about wise counsel. They'll be in there in some way. If they're not, stone him. I won't be here. It'll be a great word, I'm sure. The reason I asked Frank to speak to that particular perspective, what it is, how is it that wise counsel can speak into how we hear from God, is because, let's just declare it, call a spade a spade, there's a wise man. I'm incredibly, somebody else is giggling beside him, but my experience of Frank has been great wisdom, and so, looking forward to that message. So, I'm going to put that aside. And little Adeline has got into my head and my heart this week as I sought to understand or know what it is that God would invite me to speak to you this morning. We've had this tradition over the last 4 or 5 months of reading scripture in another language. There is one language that we have yet to have, and I'm going to read that to you now. It's from 2 Kings chapter 4, the widow's oil. The English language will be used today. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditors is coming to take away my 2 boys as his slaves." Elijah replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a little oil." Elijah said, "Go round and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him, and afterwards shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another one." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Lord, I want to thank you for your word this morning. Lord, I pray that as I seek to expound on this, that it will speak to people where they're at. The but they will know something of the goodness of a Father that meets their every need. Amen. All right. So, as I've sat with the scripture, I got more and more excited as I looked at it. That horrible realization that it's not on this device. This will be fine. So, with the story, it started with little Adeline as I thought about what does it look like for her to know and encounter a God, a living God. And as I sat with the story, I recognized there are things going on in this story which reveals how it is that we've been called to bring up our children. Who's the hero in the story besides God? Obviously, God's the hero in the story. But in the story, who performed this miracle? Not Elijah. The mum and the kids. It wasn't the man of God that actually brought this that facilitated or actually enacted the miracle. It was the mother. And I love how Elijah didn't, in one sense, take over. And I tried to emulate that this morning with the dedication of the child. It would be so easy for me to be the big man of God and I've come to dedicate this child. That wasn't the posture of Elijah. He actually empowered the mother, gave directions, put her in the room, had her children in with her. That's amazing. And so I thought, well, what does it look like for us as a church? How is it that we as a church can live and act in a way that seeks to empower and resource people to live out of a posture of expectation that God will do something? This woman cries out for help. I need food. I need to pay bills. And Elijah puts in place a series of steps for her to take to respond. What do you have? Nothing. Oh, wait. I've got a little bit of oil. I love how oil is so often used within Scripture. It's this deep, rich reminder about the Spirit of God. Even in this story, we can see there's this desire of this generosity, this flowing that impacts not just the mother, not just the children, but the community. Go into the community and get containers. Why? Why did Elijah do that? Why couldn't he just say, you know what? As you pour, this will just continue to pour. That's what happened with Elijah, with the previous widow. You might remember that story. That's the one that Jesus refers to in Luke, where there is a widow, and she is in need also. Elijah comes to her and says, look, feed me. And she says, I've got just enough for one more meal. She says, fine, I'll take it. But this jug and this bowl of bread will never run out while there is a famine. In this case, this is not what was done. In this case, Elijah sent the woman and the children into the community. Why is that? What's the setting? What's going on at that time? This is the northern kingdom of Israel. This is where the book of Hosea and Amos talk about the brokenness of the Israelite community, how they were living at this time, where usury was being exploited. This is the very demand of these children to be used in slavery. It goes against the very heart of what the law was actually asking them to. They weren't really supposed to put each other in slavery, or if it was for such a limited time, because they'd experienced slavery at the hands of others. And here the community, somebody in the community, in fact in one sense the whole community, were blind to this woman's needs, and she was going to lose her home, lose her children. And so Elijah sent her out into the community. Give me empty containers. Knocking on the door. Can I have your empty container? Why? Elijah the prophet is here. He's told me to get the empty containers and bring them to him. It wasn't just a message to her and her children. It's a message to the entire community. What message has been spoken to us as a community? When different people are hearing from God and experiencing something from God, are we allowing their experience to impact and speak to us? There's our board. It's up there. It's got a number of little things connected where people have written down, this is what I sense God has been saying to me. I hope you're looking. Facebook's a fantastic tool. Are you sharing the things that God has put on your heart? I don't believe we're called to live our Christian journey in separation. That is not what he called us to do. He's called us to speak out that which he has told us, so that we can journey together. And there's risk in doing that. There's a risk, but that's part of the journey as well. What was her expectation as those jars were being filled? As she went and got the jars, the capacity, she got every jar that she could. Now, I don't believe in a name it and claim it theology, a grab it and blab it. I believe in a Mercedes Benz. No. But what is our expectation? What is our hope? What can we trust God for? Is it just for a little jar? Is it just to meet the needs of myself today? Or is it something greater? Can I trust God for something greater? I hope that we as a community, as we dream, we dare to dream big. Not just for ourselves. Let's dream not just for our church. Let's dream for each other, yes, but for our community in which God has placed us into. That oil was sold and used in the community. I bet you it was the best oil ever. Jesus made the best wine. Why wouldn't he make the best oil? In this story, there are a number of things that got me excited as I thought about us as a community. What I thought about how God has called us to be a family that truly cares for each other. This woman that has this miracle happen for her is not a stranger to Elijah. Her husband belongs to the school of prophets. Elijah was traveling through. If you look at verse 1 of 4, the wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elijah. As a prophet, his job was to go into the community and declare the word of God, the spoken word of God as given to him, revealed by the Holy Spirit. Dangerous job, especially at this time. For at this time, the prophets were killed. As a nation, they did not honor the word of God. Perhaps you're sitting here thinking, Well, yes, I've got needs. I've got lots of needs. What is the cost of following Christ? I think that we often believe in a God that is good, but with no cost attached. I think the God that we're called to follow, there's cost. There's going to be a cost to you and to me as we seek to follow God. Now, I don't think that's something that God demands of us, but I think that's the fruit of responding to what God asks. There is going to be forces at work that play against the goodness of God. But who is greater? Who is greater? Though you may slay me. Though you may slay me. Are we prepared to live a faith that truly is a radical way of living? This story is followed by another. The story is followed by another woman. This time Elijah goes through a town, and this woman opens her home. She's not a widow, she's a wealthy woman, and has a husband who has good standing. And so they decide that they will make a place for every time Elijah comes through the town, they'd provide a place for him to stay. And so up on their house, atop of their house, they built up something that we're doing in Auckland now. They built up and made a home for him on top. Whenever he came through the town, he could stay. What a beautiful picture of what it looks like to prepare ourselves and make a place for the presence of God. She is barren. He says to her, "What is it that you would ask?" And she doesn't dare to ask. He just declares over her. She becomes pregnant. And then tragedy hits. The child dies. She goes to him and says, "I didn't ask this of you. You've given me this gift of a child. I didn't ask for this, and now I'm devastated." Devastated. Elijah returns to home, lies down on the child, breathes life back into him. It's not the first time. Where did Elijah get this idea? Elijah. Same thing. Same thing. Child dies. Elijah comes in, lays on the child, breathes life into him, and he's risen from the dead again. Now, we're talking about these miracles, and we're saying, this is what God did. And this is the scary part for me this morning. Is this just what God does in the past? Or is this what God does now? And so I'm going to be speaking to a few areas that I think God might be inviting people to trust God for, that he desires to bring hope, healing, and freedom in your life. The Sunday school is prepped for this. So now your children can be collected. If you would like your child prayed for, I'm mindful that there are a number of children in this community, in our church family right now, that are sick. Can we pray for them? But I'm going to do it Elijah style. You're going to place your hand upon your child. Not me. You're the man and woman of God that God wants to use. So if you have a child that is unwell and you would like us to stand with you in prayer, I'll invite you to get up, go get your child, bring them back in, and we're going to pray together for your child. What other areas are there of need here today? Financially, where are you at? Do you have creditors at the door? Can we pray for you? Or is this just theory? Is this just a nice idea? Is this just a story from the past? Or will you risk saying, yes, I want God to intervene? Because I would love to stand with you this morning and pray for that need. What other needs do you have? Physical? Emotional? I have experienced things in my life that have been amazing. The goodness of God has been outstanding. But it hasn't always been good. And there are still areas of my life that I want to invite Christ in to bring freedom. Perhaps you've asked God before and nothing's happened. And so you've given up asking. It's an area of my life that I battle with for about 30 years. Kept asking. I don't know why, but about 8 years ago, God sovereignly and completely set me free. Can't explain it. It's not like I hadn't asked before. It wasn't like I wasn't genuine before. I was desperate. But he chose that time, at that point, to bring freedom in my life. Could it be that this morning is that moment for you? And then there's the very best gift that God can give. We're sitting here and we're talking about a God that loves us. Perhaps you have not known that God, or you've walked away from that God. All these things that God does reveal the nature of God, the heart of God. He is a God that loves you unconditionally. And the very best thing that he can do for you is to live inside of you. This incredible, all-powerful, loving, amazing God desires a relationship with you. Not a distant relationship, but a relationship of incredible intimacy where he comes and lives inside of you. If that's you, we'd love to pray with you this morning. If that's what you had, but you've allowed yourself to drift, God seeks to refresh you this morning. And so, I'm going to sit here for the next 5 minutes. And if any of these areas of your life, you sense God has been saying, today I'm going to do this for you. Or if you hope that he would do this for you today, come humbly, but with hope, knowing that no matter the outcome, he loves you. So I invite you to stand, because sitting just makes you stuck. There is nothing special about the front of the church. It's not like coming to the front of the church will answer all your problems. No. But there's something amazing when we take a step. When we go out into the community and ask for empty jars, hoping for a miracle. When we go to Elijah and say, my child is dead. It's a cry for help. What's the step that God is asking of you this morning? Whatever area in your life, I invite you to come to the front. Look, I'm making room. So I'm going to close my eyes and I'm going to say, Lord Jesus, I'm not playing any emotive music. I'm just standing here. And I'm saying, Lord Jesus, for those that you want to refresh this morning, this place is free for them. For those that have children that would like them prayed for, Lord, release them to go get those children to come back. Lord, for those that have areas of their life that are desperate for freedom, now Lord Jesus, the front is free for them. Lord, for those with finances that are just a mess, would they come now so that you may speak into their situation? Whatever it is this morning that you are asking of God, come and allow him to minister. Not me. I'm standing outside the room. You're in the room. And God wants to do a miracle for you. Room at the front, and if you're shy, you can hold your child right where you are and place your hand upon them. Thank you, Jesus. And so if you're somebody that's come forward for prayer, just stand there, put your hands out, opening them for God as a symbol saying, Jesus, I need you. I need you, Lord Jesus. Perhaps there are one or two that would like to come and just stand with these people. Just place your hands upon them. Just as a sign that God is present. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So Dawn senses that God is saying, if you've got a hard palate, top of your mouth, God would desire to bring healing to that this morning. You ladies like to come and pray for our sister? Just come and place your hands on her, just so that she knows that God is here and is present, and that she is loved. If you're trapped, you're stuck in the place that you're at, you can't get past the person beside you because they're blocking the way, just put your hands out. There's something you need from God. Put your hands out as a sign that, God, I need something from you. He already knows. He already knows. So, Lord Jesus, I'm standing outside the room in one sense, and saying, by your Spirit, would you pour oil into these people's lives? Whatever it is that they need from you, Lord Jesus. You know what that need is. Would you meet that need, Lord? You're not a God of just the past. You're the God of now. Alive. Present. Would you come and minister? Meet these people where they're at. For healing, Lord Jesus, we declare healing. For finances, Lord Jesus, whatever it is these people need. Spiritual freedom, Lord Jesus, oppression, set them free, Lord. That's why you died, to set us free. I've had the music team to come and just to play a song that would just bless us, that would be great. Or the sound could just put on a nice worship CD, since the music team are all out with their kids. That's fine. And as that plays, Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm just going to bless this community. Lord, I pray this week as they go out, that they would go out with the knowledge that they are resourced with an incredible abundance of your Spirit. Lord Jesus, as they go, that they might knock on doors and perhaps ask. Ask of this community to share their story. I have need. Let's not hide from each other, Lord Jesus. Perhaps you will use us to be the fulfillment of your plans. We are your servants, Lord. We stand ready to serve. Lord Jesus, thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you that you truly do meet our needs. Amen. Bless you. I say again, we're up here. We are privileged to be able to pray with you. Bless you. Have a great week.